Good morning or good evening, listeners, and welcome to the second Secret Surprise Polly T solo episode of the Russell Wolf podcast. I'm here to bring you a rather brief rundown of the last couple of episodes of AEW programming, which rounded out the year, and bid farewell to their time on TNT for the main show anyway, Dynamite. So Dynamite started off with a huge 10-man tag match, which for me was like, a bit of a compilation album where you get, more of a mix-up, if you can imagine a DJ mixing in just the best bits of the songs. It was fun, but it wasn't really something I could really invest too much of my thoughts into. It was really there to tell the story of the tension between the Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express, who were teamed together with Christian Cage versus FTR, Private Party, and Matt Hardy. It was a 12-minute match. There were some pretty big spots scattered throughout. One where Mark Quinn dragged Jungle Boy down off the top ropes with his legs right into a Matt Hardy side effect, so that was pretty cool. Isaiah had Cassidy's Banshee scream just after Luchasaurus entered. It was pretty impressive. And I noticed at the beginning of this match, one of my favorite and the world's favorite new wrestlers, Danhausen, was featured quite a lot. There was a Danhausen shirt being worn clearly by one of the fans in the crowd, and somebody else wearing a Danhausen mask. And then just as the match got started, we could see that someone was holding up a sign which featured a caricature of Danhausen and MJF. So pretty obvious that this guy is big time over, and hopefully we'll be seeing him soon. So for this 12-minute match, I gave it a B. It was leading really to a scheduled championship match between the Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express, the number one contenders, and that's something we should expect to see pretty soon. Next up was Eddie Kingston and Proud and Powerful, or also formerly known as LAX, versus Daniel Garcia and 2.0. At the end, the heels won, the crowd boos, and Garcia runs in and hits Santana on the head with the timekeeper's bell. This results in Jericho's music, and Jericho runs out with his baseball bat, Floyd, and everyone runs away. There's tension between Eddie Kingston and Jericho. So I would say this is heading towards a some kind of program where we've got Kingston versus Jericho to determine who gets custody of Santana and Ortiz. So this was okay. It was a 9-minute match. I'd give it a C-. After this, we had yet another match in this Powerbomb Symphony of Wardlow versus Jobby McJobface. But this time, it was actually a lot more enjoyable. I think it was about a 2-minute match, which is, probably the max you could expect out of one of these things. And I think the quality of the jobber made this a much better match than last week. In fact, I think he somewhat resembled James Ellsworth from days gone by. So, I like this a lot better. I'll give this an A. After this, there was a promo from Dan Lambert, which was pretty puerile, embarrassing, misogynistic stuff. But, it was supposed to be. And thankfully, Brandy came out and attacked him. Well, she tried to attack him physically, but was held off. I didn't like it, but we have to expect that this kind of thing appears once in a while. After this, there was a promo for the upcoming round two of the Paige Danielson title challenges, and it gave me the feeling that I think we're going to see a bit of a hot potato between Paige and Danielson with this one, because they're both really big time over, and I can't see the purpose of taking it away from Paige after such a short period of time, or denying it to Danielson, who is being presented as someone who is the best wrestler, that exists. So you can't keep on running this thing to draws, and I do not believe they're going to start doing distraction, disqualification finishes. So the only way that the program could work would be for someone to take a loss, but for then an immediate challenge rematch being a rematch program being put in place. So this would then go against the style of booking that's been put in place for the champions to this point, where each of them has had it for months. But I think that's a good thing. Mix it up. All right. Next up, we saw the second semifinal of the TBS tournament. The commentators gave us a great stat, which really I thought was pertinent here. They said that 14 of Jade Cargill's wins were in under 2 minutes. So for Rosa to push her way past that, because at this stage I think it was probably 7 or 8 minutes, is really going to stretch her cardio. Rosa continued focusing on the Cargill's left knee over and over, and Cargill's selling it big time. And I really thought by this point that it was a really well-designed and really, really well-worked match, which was an almost perfect display of what you can do when you've got a younger, less experienced, but bigger, more powerful competitor versus the experienced and the competitor with who's a better tactician. But this was then quickly followed up by a distraction finished, where a supposedly crew member came in and had some kind of weapon. We couldn't really see what happened. Hit Thunder Rosa on the head, and then she was laid out with the blue Thunder Bomb. I really would have liked to see this without the distraction finish, but I see good reasons why it was used. They were able to introduce Mercedes Martinez back into the company. This was much better than I expected it to be. I can see why Cargill's been put over. It leads to an ideal final of this tournament, being Ruby Soho versus the heel in Jade Cargill. It was an 11-minute match, which is a lot longer than we've seen Cargill work before that. And I think she did pretty well, so I'm going to give her the B+. Next up, we saw a promo from CM Punk, which suggests that the whole Punk MJF feud has been dropped. I'm very curious about this, because they've been working on it for so long and it's been pretty popular. I think pretty sure that everyone's looking forward to them actually getting in the ring, so we'll see how that goes. He suggested that he's going to interfere in MJF's matches during his quest for W's, as MJF had said earlier when he wanted to climb the rankings to go for the world title. See what happens there, eh? Next up, we hear about The Bunny and Penelope Ford being scheduled in a match versus Ty Conti and Anna Jay, which is a street fight. Well, I had to admit, I was actually looking forward to this. I know my opinions have really changed rapidly about the abilities of The Bunny and Penelope Ford. They've clearly been putting in their best efforts and being showcased to let us know what they're capable of. So let's see what happens here. All right, now for the main event of Dynamite, this was the Best Friends versus the trio who is not the Undisputed Era, because that's that was their name in their previous incarnation in NXT. So if they're not the Undisputed Era, I'm going to call them the Disputed Era. So it was the Best Friends, Trent Beretta, Chuck Taylor, and Orange Cassidy versus Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. The Disputed Era. So for this was a match that had all the boxes ticked for me. It had all the boxes ticked for me. You know, it was pretty evenly matched. The heels were doing heel stuff. There was great physical action, great comedy for Orange Cassidy. We were seeing typical chaos spots where you couldn't really tell who the legal man was, and really amazing teamwork from the established duos being Taylor and Adam Cole and Beretta, and the other established duo being Red Dragon, who Excalibur was really selling for us, that Red Dragon are back again, being Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And they've had a lot of years together working in different countries and different promotions. This was super fun. The end story here was that the Bucks were trying to, what are you doing hanging out with these fools? You team with them, and what do you get? You get kicked in the face, because that's what happened during one of the spots. So I can imagine that this is a program that's going to go on for a while, and we'll have just like Jericho and Eddie Kingston battling for custody of Santana and Ortiz. I reckon we're going to see the Bucks versus Red Dragon battling for custody of Adam Cole. So this was super fun. Really good way to end the broadcast. I'll give this match an A, and the whole show a B+. Rampage started pretty hot with a singles match between Darby Allin and Anthony Bowens of the Acclaimed. It was lots of fun with fast striking and decent bumps being taken by both. We got to see one of Darby's beautiful cannonball suicide dives. At the end, Andrade El Idolo appears, and then while Darby and Sting were distracted, looking up, trying to work out why he was walking out of the tunnel, the Acclaimed beat down on Sting and Darby. Look, it was a pretty enjoyable start to Rampage. I'd give it a B for this 10-minute match. We're probably set up to see some more action between these two tag teams, considering the way that it ended with the beatdown. And I guess we'll see something from the Idol, from Andrade here, because we hadn't really had any interaction between him and either of these two tag teams before, so that's going to have to be explained somewhat. Then we got to see the street fight between the Bunny and Penelope Ford versus Ty Conti and Anna Jay. And Ricky Starks called this one early. He said, this might as well be called a death match. And he was right. This got violent quickly, and the violence level just increased more and more. There were brass knucks, there were loads of blood, particularly on the Bunny and a Jay. Tables, bottles, chairs, a stunner into a ladder, thumbtack. For the final few seconds, the Bunny grabs the brass knucks, which in what seemed like a botch at the time, she slipped on the thumbtacks into a full splits position. And this gives Anna Jay an extra moment to adjust the barbed wire she had on her arm. Then she locks in her Queen Slayer submission. Whew, this was quite a spectacle. I really had my chin hanging low, my mouth wide open watching this one. When I was watching this trying to work out what's going on, I was thinking, what's the motivation here? I mean, yeah, they're showing us just how much animosity there is between these two teams, but surely you need a few matches where you have just a couple of chair shots and a table or two before you put in your GCW audition tape. Like, this was brutal. Really violent. Absolute craziness. Anyway, I've got to give this one an A for the sheer shock and awe factor. What happens next? Who knows? I think they all need a long break after that 11 minutes of madness. So the main event of Rampage was Cody versus Ethan Page. We get to see Cody debuting his new checkbox t-shirt, which reads heel after an empty checkbox. Then on the next on the list, babyface, next to another empty checkbox. And then third on the list, winner. And that checkbox is filled with the Transformer tattoo. Yes, that's what Dan Lambert called Cody's neck tat transform. Anyway, during this match, Cody was working really hard to draw out heat from the crowd, and he got it. He was doing lots of engagement, yelling, talking to them, pointing, throwing things, throwing up the guns. He's flexing his muscles, yelling out, doing push-ups. He's really hot and really active and really putting on a good show here. And if just in case I didn't mention it last week, I'll mention it today. It was clear in this match that there's more than one unfortunate permanent mark that Dan Lambert can use for a Cody insult. And that's the burns on his back. They are going to be there for a long time. Crazy table spot he did in the match against Andrade. Well, we got to see some big power slams, lots of striking, kicks, plenty of near falls, submissions, counters. Cody ended this one just like he did with Sammy Guevara to take the title. He hit three crossroads, followed by a tiger driver, and there were boos throughout the stadium. Look, this was very good. 15-minute match, A-. And with the outside involvement that happened during this match, I expect we'll see Scorpio Sky versus Dustin in early programming of 2022, and possibly maybe a tag match between Dan Lambert with Ethan Page versus Cody Rhodes and Arne. This was a fun program. I'll give the whole thing a B+. All right, I'm going to enjoy a cold beverage in this stinking hot 38 degrees condition we've got here in Australia today. And I hope you are not suffering through such conditions. I hope you have had a really enjoyable time to bring in the new year. And your 2022 wrestling is just as good or better than it was in 2021.